Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of our Lord. This morning we heard the very familiar parable of the Good Samaritan. This is a parable that we all know well. We hear the title of it, and we can quickly recall the story. The problem with a commonly known and referred to parable is that when we start hearing it, our minds and our ears close up. We think we already have that one figured out, that we've already gleaned all the necessary wisdom from it, and that we have a handle on what Jesus was trying to teach us. And in the case of this story, we know that the moral of the story is to help other people, to reach out to those who are in need, to those that are marginalized. The story of the Good Samaritan is commonly recognized as an admonishment for Christians to come to the aid of another. But I wonder if that is all that Jesus was trying to teach us in this parable. Was he only offering us a parable to remind us that we are to stop and help those that are in need? Was he just giving us a parable to make us feel guilty when we don't stop and help other people, or when we ignore the homeless person in the street? I would like to think that Jesus was going beyond the obvious in this parable. I would like to think that this parable presents a bigger challenge to all of us. The bigger challenge being to really understand the depth of what coming to the aid of another person really entails, what it calls us to do. The bigger challenge in this parable is in redefining how to love your neighbor as yourself. The bigger picture and the bigger challenge is in understanding what the Jericho Road is, the road that these individuals were walking on, and then choosing to accept the invitation to walk that Jericho road with love and mercy. In biblical times, in ancient Middle Eastern days, the Jericho road was a stretch of about 17 miles, and that road connected Jerusalem to Jericho. And the road dropped 3,600 feet in that 17 miles, which makes this a very hard road to walk because of its dramatic shift in elevation. It has proven to be quite exhausting for anyone who's making the journey to Jerusalem and Jericho by means of the Jericho Road. The Jericho Road is a steep, winding, descending, remote road that for centuries has been a place of robberies. The Jericho Road is 17 miles of violence and oppression. It's a strip of suffering and where there are threats of bandits. Present day, the Jericho Road is a symbol for us. Present day, our Jericho Road is any place where people are robbed, where they're robbed of their dignity, robbed of their love, robbed of their food and clothing, robbed of their value and self-worth as a human being. Present day, our Jericho Road is places like Orlando, where 49 people were gunned down in a nightclub a couple weeks ago, or Baghdad, where 215 people died last Sunday because of a suicide bomber. Or Dallas, Texas, where 5 police officers were gunned down this past Thursday night as the African-American community responded to their own deaths in their community. Present day, the Jericho Road is any place where there is suffering and oppression, where there's pain and hurting people. And much like the invitation in this parable, we all have the option of choosing to accept the invitation to walk this steep, winding, remote, and dangerous road, or to choose to travel on by different means. In our story this morning, we encountered four men who were walking the Jericho Road, this dangerous and exhausting road. The first traveler was attacked by robbers. He was beaten, stripped of everything, and left for dead. The second man who was walking along the Jericho Road was a priest who, despite his vocation in life, did nothing to help this man. He passed him by. The third man who came along on the Jericho Road was a Levite who did the same. He passed by this half-dead man. Both the priest and the Levite went to great lengths to avoid this man. They crossed to the other side of the road so they could avoid him and any other trouble. And then there was the Samaritan, the next person walking the Jericho Road who didn't pass this man by. The Samaritan drew close to him. He was moved by compassion. He drew close to the man and was moved by the Spirit of God within him. Seeing that the man was still alive, he poured oil on him to cleanse his wounds and wine to dull the pain. He picked the man up and he took him to the inn. And there at the inn, he promised to return any pay or to pay any debts that were owed for this man's stay. The Samaritan in this parable understood what the Jericho Road was, and he accepted the invitation to walk this winding, remote, dangerous road with love and compassion. Recently, I saw a Facebook post that one of my colleagues had posted, and it's an image. And in this image, there's two different pictures, so it's divided in two. And at the top portion of this image, there is a snapshot of Tom Hanks, and it's from when he was starring in the movie Apollo 13. So Tom Hanks has on all of his astronaut gear, and he has his headset on so that he can communicate with the control center in Houston. And it's a snapshot of the part in the movie where all the explosions had just happened in the spaceship. And so all the lights are coming on in the control panel. So Tom Hanks has this startled and afraid look. And right below his picture is the famous quote, "Houston, we have a problem." Below his picture is Ed Harris. And Ed Harris played the role in that movie as the flight coordinator. And he was the main contact in the control center in Houston. So Ed Harris has his headset on, and there's NASA officials all around him and computers. And below his image is a quote that says, "Sending thoughts and prayers." As in, I hope it all works out for you. The point of this picture that is floating around on Facebook is to generate awareness about what our world has been reduced to. In a lot of ways, our world has adopted a very hands-off approach. When someone we know is going through a difficult time or they're amidst heartache or a crisis, we oftentimes send them a text or an email, or we post something on their Facebook wall that says, "Sending thoughts and prayers." My favorite is when people say, "Sending good vibes." We do that instead of calling that person directly or showing up at their door and saying, "How can I help you with what you're going through?" Or in the face of tragedy and natural disasters, we like to write checks to organizations that are working in those areas instead of showing up ourselves and doing the manual labor or sitting with the people who have just had their lives devastated. In a lot of ways, our human interaction with one another has been reduced to texting, emailing, social media, rather than personal phone calls and face-to-face interactions. It has been reduced to telling someone we're thinking about them instead of showing up and actually helping to care for them, or by sending money in place of ourselves. Mother Teresa gave her entire life to the poor, the sick, and the hungry of Calcutta, India. Mother Teresa was 100% hands-on. She began with an open-air school for homeless children, and as funds came in from that, it expanded her work to create an organization called the Missionaries of Charity, which focused on loving and caring for those that nobody else wanted to care for. She said that her focus was to help the poor and to better their lot. She created a home for babies whom parents couldn't or wouldn't care for. She created a colony for lepers, where lepers could build homes and work in fields. She created a home for the dying. And on the first day of creating that home, she picked a woman up out of the street who was literally half eaten by rats and ants, and she carried that woman to the home. Mother Teresa understood what the Jericho Road is, and she most certainly accepted the invitation to walk that road with love and mercy and compassion. To walk the Jericho Road means we put into action everything that Jesus has taught us. It means that we embody the gospel fully and 100%. It means that God's Spirit moves within us, and love and compassion and mercy flow out of us. To walk the Jericho Road entails hands-on, radical, and inconvenient grace. It entails living outside of our comfort zone. It means exerting ourselves physically, emotionally, financially, until the point that we are utterly exhausted from that journey. There is, of course, a little bit of the priest and the Levite within each of us, where it might be easier to pass someone by instead of caring for them, carrying them on our back and nursing them back to good health. And there is, of course, a little bit of the Ed Harris within each of us, where it's a little bit easier and more convenient to address a person's needs by texting or emailing, letting them know we're thinking about them and sending prayers. But I truly believe that there is a little bit of the Samaritan within each of us as well. There has to be, because we have the Spirit of God within us. The challenge then is to allow the Samaritan within each of us to override the priest and the Levite that is within. In regards to our present day Jericho Road, the Jericho Road in places like Dallas, Texas, where those five police officers were gunned down this past week. They were gunned down during a protest in a rally where the African-American community was simply responding to some of the unnecessary deaths that they have suffered as well. In light of those events, I have a story that I wanted to share with you. And it's a story about an African-American girl. Her name is Natasha Howell. And this is what she wrote. "This morning, I went into a convenience store to get a protein bar. As I walked through the door, I noticed that there were two white police officers, one about my age and the other several years older. They were talking to the clerk, an older white woman who was behind the counter. They were discussing the recent shootings that have gone on in the past few days. They all looked at me and fell silent. I went about my business to get what I was looking for. As I turned back up the aisle to go pay, the oldest officer was standing at the top of the aisle watching me. As I got closer, he asked me how I was doing. I replied, 'Okay, and you?' He looked at me with a strange look, and he asked, 'How are you really doing?' And I responded, and I said, 'I'm tired.' And he said, 'I'm tired too.' And then he said, 'I guess it's not easy being either one of us right now, is it?' And I said, 'I guess not.' And then he hugged me, and I cried. I'd never seen that man before in my life. I have no idea why he was moved to talk to me. What I do know is that he and I shared a moment this morning that was absolutely beautiful. No judgments, no justifications, just two people sharing a moment." And she signed off by saying, "I'm feeling hopeful. I found a moment of clarity today." And I posted this woman's story on my Facebook wall in case any of you want to read it a little bit more closely. But this is a hands-on approach. This is what walking the Jericho Road entails. This is radical love and grace at its finest. It may have just been a moment that these two people shared, but it's a moment that will have lasting effects. It's already affected many people who have already seen this post circulating on Facebook. And it may have been exceedingly uncomfortable and awkward for this police officer to approach this young woman, to embrace her and to break that barrier and have human contact. But he walked outside of his comfort zone, and he did it. We may not have all of the answers or solutions to the terrible things that happen in our world and the violence and the pain that is suffered on the Jericho roads throughout our nation. But what we do know is that sending thoughts and prayers, that is a good thing. I do believe in the power of prayer, but that's not enough. It takes more. It takes embodying the gospel on every level. And that is what Jesus was trying to get at in this parable. It takes truly loving your neighbor at a whole other depth. The challenge in this parable is to redefine loving your neighbor as yourself more radically, where you adopt a hands-on approach, where you don't pass anyone by, because it's uncomfortable or inconvenient. The challenge is to answer God's call at the depth in which he is calling. It's a call to walk the steep, winding, remote, and dangerous Jericho Road with love and compassion and mercy every day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.